quick thought from the Word of God, Matthew, in chapter 23. Gospel of Matthew in chapter 23, verse 39. The Lord is about to go to the cross. It's a few days off. He's with his disciples here. And he lets them know that he's going away and they won't see him again. Now, put yourself in the disciples' position. 3 years with the Lord, and he comes out and says he's going away, and they won't see him again. Very traumatizing, very traumatic, very concerning, say it ain't so type of moment. In verse 39, he says, I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And then they go on a short trip, and it's described in 24. They take a walk. I think they go from Gethsemane to the temple. It says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, departed from the temple, and his disciples came unto him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily, I say unto you, there shall not be left unto you. There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, now this is the backdrop of their question. Their questions, he has three questions. This is the backdrop is, he just told them he's going away, they're not going to see him again. In this temple that you see, not one stone will be left upon another, meaning the temple is going to be destroyed. And if the temple is destroyed, that means Jerusalem is destroyed, because there's no way that anybody's going to come into Jerusalem and destroy the temple without a fight. So Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, the temple is going to be thrown down, and if that all that happens, that means there's a lot of our people who are dead in war. So this is serious situation. If the temple is thrown down and not one stone is left upon the other, they know that it is perilous times. In verse 3, this is what prompts the background that prompts the question, or the questions. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? When's this going to happen? When is this temple going to be destroyed? When is it? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world, or the end of the age? Three things. You can go on for a while on these three things, but just to paraphrase, just to make it quick, we're going to look at maybe one. Tell us when these things shall be. He doesn't answer the question here, but he answers it in Luke. That question is answered in Luke. Chapter 21, verse 20. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is near. If you see armies around Jerusalem, don't think you're going to win the battle. It's going to be lost. In other words, verse 21, 20 and 21 of Luke 21. Verse 21, then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries thereof thereunto, for these be the days of vengeance, and all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon his people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive unto all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. The times of the Gentiles didn't start at this point when Jerusalem will be sacked and the temple destroyed in 70 AD. The times of the Gentiles actually started when the Gentiles took over. Actually, when the Jewish nation didn't fulfill their purpose of being the center of the world and being the capital of the planet, and their purpose was to bring God to the nations. That happened back in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel writes of it about Nebuchadnezzar. First, it was a Syrian nation that took down the northern tribe, and then Nebuchadnezzar came in and took down the southern tribe of Judah and Benjamin, all gone into captivity. And so ended the Jewish reign that was supposed to take over the whole world. It ended there. People thought it was over. It was ended. And the times of the Gentiles began, the time when the Gentile nations will rule the planet. And so it is even today. We are still in the Gentile rule politically, economically. All aspects are under the Gentiles. Right now, it happens to be the U.S. that's top of the heap. This country, politically, economically, with the war machine that is here. But before this, there was Great Britain that ruled, another Gentile world power that ruled the seas with their famous navy they had. And it still was time of the Gentiles, a time that never should have been. But blessed be God will take advantage and use all these things. It's the time of the Gentiles. And the Gentile time will end. No longer will the Gentiles be over the world. Because it tells us in this verse, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. There will be an end of Gentile world domination on this planet. And once again, Israel, the nation, will come center stage. And they will be and take their place, their rightful place, as God has ordained them, to be the ones to bring God to the world. We read all about that in Ezekiel and Zechariah. It goes on and on about the bringing together the nation of Israel, the Valley of Dry Bones. It isn't speaking about people being resurrected. It's speaking about a nation being resurrected to live here on earth. That's coming up in Ezekiel, chapter 37, I think it is. This times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. It's going to come to an end. And Israel will take center stage. So I'm going to end it there. And I'll open it up for further people to come up.
What a blessing to have a grandson. And I tell him he's my great-grandson. That is, he's great, taking care of me, and he's my grandson. So thank you, Bjorn. He's always there to help. And I thank him. Now, I didn't know that we were going to have an open platform. So I have my father-in-law's Bible. Dad was a great guy to marry his lovely daughter. I'm so thankful. But my Bible had different notes. Not that Dad wrote the wrong thing. It's just that I can't read it as quick. But please turn with me to... John chapter 1, and I'll speak. I'll just read a few verses, and we'll move on. Okay. Now, speaking of our Lord as the true light of the world, and we must admit, before we were saved, we were hovered over with darkness. And Amazing Grace is my favorite hymn. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And how thankful we are that the light of the Lord broke through the darkness of my heart, and by him and by all of us, we have reached out to the Son of God who loved us and saved us. So Luke 1:9. Okay, well, I'll read 8. He was not that light, speaking of John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, verse 9, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And how sad that God sent his Son into the world to save sinners, and yet he was rejected by many. But praise the Lord for those that saw the light and wanted to be saved. 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And, you know, we can praise the Lord. This is a verse, 1 John 4:14. We praise the Lord, for we have seen and do testify that God sent his Son into the world to save sinners. And praise the Lord that he came. And there was the humble man dying at Calvary, bearing our sin. He was reviled, but he reviled not again. And he was crucified in order to save us and to bear our sin and die on the cross. And because in 3 days he arose from the dead, and eventually, not long, he ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of Almighty God, and now is our high priest. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And the beauty is, because we're all under different religions, isms, whatever, and, you know, being a high Episcopalian, which is just a hive off from Catholicism, believe it or not, I was an altar boy, but also a wretch. And, you know, it was very sad because the gospel wasn't preached. It was by works. But the light came into the world, and we beheld the light and fell in thanksgiving before the Lord. Now, I said John 1:9, and then let me see here. Just bear with me a minute. Well, what I'll do is this. I just want to share with you that we are the light of the world as well. God has given us his glory. And the glory that we have reveals Almighty God, our Creator, and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we shine forth in order to reveal God to fallen man and how important that is. And what I want to do is just talk about that we would shine brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. And that's exactly what we want. The very brilliance of Almighty God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has shined upon us. And we have bowed down with thanksgiving, being born again and saved by our peerless, wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And being the light of the world, we were set, at least I pray, on fire to show Christ in us the hope of glory. And that's what we're here to do. We are here to testify of the wonderful salvation he's given us. And that is also the message of the baptism. After a person is saved, he is then baptized. Baptism has nothing to do with salvation, but it has all to do about standing with the Lord and announcing to the world that we are saved, that we've been risen from the dead, as our beloved Lord was when he died at the cross. He arose from the dead 3 days later, and we're so thankful. So the question is that we would shine brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. That perfect day, I believe, speaks of the day we'll leave this earth and we will be raptured to glory to be with the Lord forever. And with the Lord being there, our Almighty God, our Creator, and our Savior, because it was he who brought the word of salvation, and he sent his Son to carry out his will of dying to bear our sin and to give us a life forever in heaven. And because he is there, and also the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, it's paradise. It's paradise to be in the presence of Almighty God forever and ever and ever. And as much as we deserved hell and the lake of fire, the very fact is that he was the crucified one that bore our sin, who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. So it was a wonderful, wonderful carry out of the Father's will as Christ died for us. And the beauty is, he knew what was ahead of him, being omniscient. But the fact is, he did not hesitate to carry out the will of his Father in saving mankind. That is, those who bow their head and make a confession unto God. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessions made unto salvation. And we have been called by God to go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I'll tell you, it wasn't long ago, and I see a way of opening to speak to someone. I saw a man with a cross on his leg. I saw a guy with, it looked like a verse written. And just so many different things, or a cross hanging on his neck, whatever. And I say, to start, what does that mean to you? And then I get different comments, and it's really the open door of preaching God's salvation to fallen man. And that's exactly what we want to do, is shine brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. So go, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 4. Okay. Now, Proverbs 4, verse 18. But the path of the just is like the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And that's so, so wonderful to have the very light of God being showered upon us, and we become also the light in a dark world. And our mission is that we would shine brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. And how true that is. The perfect day when the Lord, as you know, takes us to heaven. And how great that will be. Because there's no other perfect day than the day when we are with the Lord in heaven, with the absence of sin and the absence of sorrow and pain, whatever it may be, and the absence of an environment of sin in this world today. And that's why we want to shine brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. And that's exactly what we want to do. And I can't say it enough, you know, that would be on our mind. And I wanted to share also that the judgment seat of Christ, which we will thankfully go to, it's not the great white throne judgment, it's the judgment seat of Christ for believers alone. And the beauty is that we will give an account of our stewardship here on earth while we lived. And so I always say to myself, I want to walk every day in light of the judgment seat of Christ. Because when I sit with my Lord, I would love to have him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Right? Do we want that? Yes. Yes, we do. So, again, reading that, but the path of the just is like the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And there's another translation, and it says that we would shine brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. And, I've been richly blessed by joining a ministry, the Fellowship of Christian Farmers. And I've been with them after I was with the Gideons for quite a while. And I've been with them almost 30 years. And the beauty of sharing with people the glorious gospel. And the idea again is to shine forth so that they can see the glory of God in you. Not that we're seeking glory. The glory is only of or God. But the fact is, God breathes upon us his wonderful glory, and how thankful we can be to serve him well. So that would be basically my message. And I would have brought my Bible, not Dad's, as much as I love my father-in-law. He was a great guy. Barb's dad was saved. After Barb and I got saved, we were married on July 24th, 1971. 54 years we celebrated a couple of weeks ago, or a week ago. And then on October 4th and 10th of 71, we received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And God being our chief cornerstone of our lives and our marriage, made that marriage a very rewarding and successful marriage as we live to glorify him. And that's exactly what we want to do. We take no credit. It's all because of our wonderful God and our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just see here. Okay. So that's what I wanted to share with you. And I would have probably been speaking more had I had my Bible, but I don't. But I will say this to you. When my mother and stepfather were saved under the evangelistic preaching of Don Welborn, and Mom, she had a heart, and my stepfather, being a Catholic, and then changing his message, being a born-again believer, I couldn't believe it. He was a very strict Catholic man. But Frank got saved, my mother got saved, and then Brother Don Welborn came another time, and you know, Mom gave me a Bible, a Scofield, and I looked at it. When she walked away, I went like that. I said, I don't want to read that Bible. You know, I just tossed it. And, you know, when we were told about this evangelical meeting with Don Welborn, I really didn't want to go, but we went. I figured we'll go once. He was there for a whole week to satisfy Mom, because she'd get after me. And so we went the first night, and when we got home, Barb fell under conviction by what preaching was going on. And she said to me when we got home, Pete, I want to go out again tomorrow night. I said, what? We already went. What do we have to go more for? And I said, all right, we'll go. And anyway, after the meeting, my wife spoke with Don Welborn, and they sat in a room, and Don answered her questions and continued to share God's gospel. And I was waiting in the hallway, and when Barb opened the door, she was crying. And I said, wow, she must love the Lord Jesus. And I don't think I said Lord Jesus, I said Jesus. But the thing is, that started to work in my heart and convict me. So, needless to say, he kept preaching, and of course we were going, because my wife wanted to go. And 6 days later, Don spoke to me at Mom's house. And Mom didn't tell me he was going to be there with us for dinner. And when I got in the house and he's sitting there, I said, ooh, you know. But, I mean, I was thankful. But he took me into a room after we ate, and I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so thankful that we were saved 6 days apart. And we then had the baptism, which is excellent, at the assembly, not long after, but it was during the winter. And, you know, it was amazing. And as I said, baptism is a revelation of God in us, the hope of glory. It really is, and we're testifying to the world that we belong to the Lord who resurrected from the dead, and we who resurrected from the dead and are alive now in Christ, and how thankful we are, and we were, and we are, and the final day when we go to be with the Lord forever. But God is so good. And I'll tell you, when I say like me, before I met my wife, I was doing terrible things and just went down the wrong path. And unfortunately, got involved with alcohol, drugs. I even was thrown into prison, but not for like a year or anything, but I was fighting and not good. And I'll tell you, that was the low of my life, was being in prison. And in that cell was a commode, and to get something to drink, there was a little opening where you could set your cup on and they'd pour, and also they'd slide food under the cell door, and I'd eat in there. And I'll tell you what, oh boy, but I deserved exactly what happened to me. The wage of sin, okay, is the result is horror and fear. And for us as believers, of course, we have 1 John 1:9. If any man sins, that we confess our sin before God, and he will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So, but back then, I was just living a bad life. And for some reason, she wanted to go out with me, and I wanted to go out with her. And by God's grace, you know, what's that verse say? It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thine house. And praise the Lord, because her dad and mom came to the Lord after we were saved. Her brother and sister, Jan, you know, Jan. And even in my family. And our kids, 3 kids, all gave their lives to the Lord because of our interest in seeing them saved. And we got them into a Christian school. And we also got them involved with Greenwood Hills Bible Conference and Bible studies. You name it. We were pouring out our heart on our children and also people we would meet. And we will continue, won't we, till the last day when we're taken up to glory. We want to lead people to Christ. So if anything else, just remember this, that we would shine brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. And that's what we are. We want to show the brilliance of God's glory that he has embedded on our hearts to live for him. So thank you very much. And thank you, Dad. I'm I wish I would have my Bible. I would have had more to say because I had a lot written down. But
can you close us in a word of prayer?
Pardon me?
Can you close us in a word of prayer? Close the meeting in prayer.
Oh, sure. All right. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you with thanksgiving. You are indeed our Abba Father, and we are the children of God, and we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, and how thankful we are. And Lord, I think of that verse, in his presence is fullness of joy. And he has given us a new life, all believers, and we thank you, and we praise you, and we lift you on high as the worthy, worthy Almighty God and the worthy, worthy Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you, and we pray that we will shine brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. So I ask your blessing upon the saints here and all the saints of the world, and pray that many around the globe will be saved this day. So we thank you, and we ask your richest blessing upon the dear brothers and sisters and the children that are here at the meeting. So we commend them to you as well. And it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that I pray. Amen.